We begin with the letter A. A is for...
M is for murder. E is for...
danger!
And,
Dodge.
With... monster.
Help! For love me and be please help!
Yeah.
Welcome, you idiots, to another stupid episode of the Is For Podcast.
Excellent, excellent intro.
I can't do a rim. I can't. But I am Monster. Joining me is Sarge. Say hello, Sarge.
What's up? I hope my voice and dubbing doesn't look like a Chinese-Japanese movie.
Ah, so be it.
Yeah, there's been worse things that you've done. So.
Oh, yeah. If that's the worst that happens on this episode, we are good. And also, Danger. Say hello, Danger.
Hello, Danger.
Tonight, we are talking about something very near and dear to my heart. Tonight is R for the Ren and Stimpy show. I absolutely loved this show. Now, a lot of times when we do these episodes, I like to wear a shirt that has something to do with that, the topic that we're discussing. I don't have my Ren and Stimpy shirt handy. I am wearing an Evil Dead 2 shirt, which is also cool. But I did have my Ren and Stimpy socks, which are really cool. Danger, you were making fun of me earlier because I bent over and I was making like old man noises. That's why I'm not wearing these, because I wanted to show them and there was no way I could get my leg up high enough to actually be on the camera. So,
well, we honestly appreciate you not trying on the camera.
Honestly, we probably would have just made fun of you if you were like, I'm taking my socks off.
I would have fallen out of the chair. You would have seen like the wheels on my chair come up. It would have been great, but still. Okay, so again, Ren and Stimpy show. This was one of my favorite shows growing up. This is one of those shows I've talked about on other episodes, like Beavis and Butthead, where my dad kind of watched it with me, and he was laughing at stuff that I wasn't necessarily always laughing at, and we just had a great time with it. It was gross, but it was still smart. It was weird. It was kind of creepy. Absolutely loved it. Did either one of you guys love this show, hate the show, or kind of indifferent?
I love the show, and audience, I do want you to know that Monster has been salivating to do a Ren and Stimpy episode for 3 seasons now. So love the show. Watched a ton of it. I don't have any vivid memory of the show better than... I always loved the, and I'm sure you'll talk about the little songs and things that happened throughout the show that didn't really have to do with Ren and Stimpy, you know, just little side things. And
yes.
And my favorite one was Billy the Beef Tallow Man. And and it was just the dumbest thing. And it was just this superhero that had the ability to fry anything. It was like this, like brother and sister, like little kids, and their dad would eat anything that was fried. And so
I can hear the song in my head, and you know, hey, Billy, can you deep fry the Buick?
Right.
Sure I can, right. But he'll probably spew it.
That's yes. The exact part that yep. I was about to give. So, yeah, I don't know. I just always love those little interludes. But, yeah.
What about you, Sarge?
Loved it.
I grew up on Ren and Stimpy. Like, that was the show, and it had a whole bunch of favorite jingles that you know when it came on. What show you were watching, not to steal mm-hmm. any thunder, but people like Powdered Toast Man. I we'll believe they tried to sure. network tried to make a Ren and Stimpy-esque style show, Cow and Chicken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It had varying degrees of success. But yeah, like I said, well, I'm sure we'll get into all this stuff later on. But yes, I did watch it. And I can't say I've seen every episode, but I've probably mm-hmm. seen the vast majority of them.
So the way I broke this down is I wanted to, because we could sit here and gush about the show and the characters and the episodes and stuff, and that would be a lot of fun. And we will do some of that. But I also wanted to get into the actual history of how it came to be, because Ren and Stimpy, when it came out, was way ahead of its time. And not a lot of other cartoons were made the way it was. But after its success, a lot of cartoons came along that borrowed heavily, heavily from the Ren and Stimpy style. And to your point, Sarge, Cow and Chicken, you also had Two Stupid Dogs. You also had Angry Beavers. You also have SpongeBob SquarePants. All of these shows would not exist as they do had it not been for Ren and Stimpy. But with that being said, there's a lot more to the Ren and Stimpy show than maybe the average person knows. So I wanted to kind of go into the history and little trigger warning. There is a little bit of stuff in here that might be kind of hard to hear, but we'll get through it and we'll have a fun little game at the end to be our palate cleanser.
I mean, you can't talk about Ren and Stimpy. You can't expect to listen to something about Ren and Stimpy without expecting to hear things that are hard to hear.
Well, you,
I mean, at one point, Ren and Stimpy was not very kid-friendly, but yet we still all watched it as kids.
Right. I mean, if you're talking Ren and Stimpy, you're assuming we're going to talk about boogers and farts and nose hairs and rotten teeth. And yes,
more than that.
That's all there. Oh, yeah. But the actual production and everything gets a little kind of kooky. So the show was created by this guy named John Crisfalusi. That will be the last time I say his name because, okay, I'll say it one more time. Crisfalusi is a funny, hard name to say. And he typically goes by John K.
Okay. But with the, I think we've went into German territory at one point, but with the wide range of country names that we have said, you know, from Japan to Germany to the Philippines,
Russia,
Russian. I mean, that's the least hard one that we've come across or that we've taken on.
Put it this way. When I was a kid, at the beginning of the Ren and Stimpy episodes, you would see created by John K at the beginning. Yeah. And then in the credits, you would see his full name, Crisfalusi, and never had any idea how to pronounce it correctly. But over the past couple of weeks, I've listened to enough podcasts and watched enough YouTube videos that it was like, Crisfalusi, Crisfalusi. And I think that's how you say it, but I think some people say Crisfalusi. Like, I think they add, I don't know. So
I just really wanted to make you go back on the last time that you had say it. And I got you.
I've said it like 17 times now. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Go on.
John K was born September 9th, 1955 in Canada. He was a huge fan of Hanna-Barbera cartoons. And as he got older, he loved the classic Looney Tunes, Merry Melodies shows. And actually, as time went on, he ended up developing a friendship with legendary animator Bob Clampett. If that name sounds familiar, that's because he worked on Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies.
Yep.
He also worked on Beanie and Cecil, which will come up later. And he's the one who actually designed Daffy Duck, Tweety Bird, Porky Pig, and some more real famous Looney Tunes. So the friendship with Bob Clampett is kind of what got John K his first job with Film Nation. This is when John K worked on shows like Fat Albert, Super Friends, and even The Jetsons. He absolutely hated it. He said he referred to it as creatively bankrupt, and he hated the way cartoons were being just churned out with very little creativity.
Everybody's got to start somewhere, though.
Yes, but this will become a common trend with John Kay. He constantly likes to buck the system for better or for worse, and we'll get there.
I'm guessing we're going to really hear about the for worse part of this.
There's a reason that Ren and Stimpy was not on the air very long, and only about 20 to 30 episodes are actually, like, when you think Ren and Stimpy, that's what you're thinking of. So, yeah.
Okay.
So around this time, John K became friends with a guy named Ralph Bakshi. Now, does that name sound familiar?
It's familiar,
does,
but
I can't place it. Yeah.
Where is it? Okay. Ralph Bakshi is like, he's hard to describe. He's sort of like the outlaw animator. He was the one who created stuff like Fritz the Cat, the Lord of the Rings, heavy metal. Like, that was. Which, funny side note, Fritz the Cat was the first animated film to receive an X rating.
Yes, I did know that.
Yeah. Hmm. Another thing that separated Bakshi from a lot of his peers was that he often hired women, minorities, and he paid animators higher wages than most studios.
How dare he be fair?
What now, a novel idea, paying women for their work.
And paying just paying people for their work in general, just the gall.
One of the things that Bakshi started, though, was he gave a little bit more leeway to the animators. Because when it comes to animated shows, you have writers and you have animators. And one of John Kay's biggest philosophies, mottos, whatever, is that if you can't draw and you can't animate, you don't need to work on a cartoon.
Yeah.
John Kay was very much of the mindset that the people drawing the cartoon are the ones making it. You don't need a room full of writers coming up with jokes and all this stuff. The animators are going to do the jokes themselves, kind of thing.
Okay. So that's kind of like, it's kind of like when like The Office really started the whole like writers as actors on shows, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that makes a big difference whenever you have the people that are in front of the camera, or in this case, drawing what's in front of the camera, you know, actually coming up with the material.
And it kind of goes both ways. It depends on what kind of cartoon show you're making, because obviously that sort of philosophy does not work on a show like The Simpsons, you know.
Yeah.
But I digress. So Bakshi Studio started working on a show called Mighty Mouse, The New Adventures. Now, I had never heard of this show before doing research for this. This show is bonkers. If you look at it, it looks like Ren and Stimpy. And not only does it have that feel, but a lot of really famous animators worked on this. And I can't remember all their names, but I know that some of the guys that worked on this ended up going on to do Batman, the animated series, also went on to do Ren and Stimpy and a lot of other big animation projects.
Yeah. I mean, the Batman animated series is a whole episode in itself. That's
absolutely. Yes, that yes it is.
Yeah. All right,
well,
so
we can do all the Batman animated series that they've done.
I think the two that need the most attention is Batman Beyond and Batman animated series. So guess what? Next season B is going to be one of those.
Batman Beyond.
All right, I'm down for Batman Beyond.
I remember I've always been a movie guy more than a TV show guy, and I remember getting Batman and the Phantom. What was it?
Oh, the Batman Beyond movie.
Batman and the Phantom something. And I
know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I had it in the big, like, plastic, like, case that would open and close the VHS.
Mask of the Phantasm?
Yes, that's it. I loved that. It was so good. And I
it wasn't
spoil
Batman
it.
Beyond, but it was it's a great movie.
But it's the same animation style as the animated series. There's a little bit of a twist to the bad guy. That's really cool. Yeah, that's a fun movie. So
actually, so when it comes to, and I know we're just sidestepping Ren and Stimpy, but I've always felt like Warner Brothers was on point when it comes to their animated stuff. You know, their live action stuff I've not always been the biggest fan of, but I mean, hell, my favorite Batman is Michael Keaton, and that was in 89. But yeah, no, Warner Brothers animation stuff has always been on par, has always been good.
I think Warner Brothers Animation was the last animation company, not Warner Brothers himself, but the animation side of it, was the last was the last holdout to the whole redoing the way cartoons are.
Yeah,
Because they had like the last like Animaniacs.
Yeah.
Think about that show for a hot second.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that went on for a year. How do you think I learned the 50 states? I didn't learn it in school.
You didn't learn all the countries either from Wackers. No, but I always thought it was funny, and I recognized this when I was a kid, and my dad pointed it out to me. But what were the three Animaniacs? Wacko,
Yakko, and Dot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My dad pointed out to me. Yakko is just whoever's doing the voice of Yakko is or Wacko is just doing
Ringo.
Ringo.
He's just Ringo.
He's just Ringo talking about using the potty. That's it.
So John was an animator on the Mighty Mouse, The New Adventures. But eventually John was fired because on one episode, Mighty Mouse snorts a crushed flower. He was told to take it out because it looked like Mighty Mouse was snorting coke. He refused to do it because, you know, that's just the kind of guy John Kay is. He doesn't like being told no, and he should, and we'll get to that in a minute. And he basically just threw a fit and said, no, we're not taking it out, and you guys are too sensitive, and my vision is the way it should be, blah, blah, blah. So, again, he got fired. After this, John was super pissed off that he didn't get more creative freedom, so he decided to start his own animation studio with a lot of the well-established and popular animators that he was working on, you know, the Mighty Mouse show with, and this would be called Spumco.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what a name. Like, it just, that's a gross name, you know.
It's a gross name, but it also sounds like a 50s toy manufacturer.
It does. I give you that. So around the same time, the president of Nickelodeon, a lady named Geraldine Laybourne, she was looking for some new original animated show ideas, because this is like early 90s. And up until this point, Nickelodeon was mostly known for live action stuff, their game shows, stuff like Double Dare, and you can't do that on television. A whole lot of excuses to cover kids in slime, basically.
Yeah. Double Dare is the reason why I have a scar on my head. One of the scars.
Ooh,
my brother and I were playing Double Dare in our bedroom, and we didn't understand physics at like 5 and 8 years old or whatever, however old we were. And he was like, if you go down this tunnel off the top bunk, I'll catch you. He didn't catch me. And I nailed it right in the forehead.
I just feel a little weird about the sentence. My brother and I were playing Double Dare in our bedroom.
Well, we shared
a bedroom. It wasn't truth or dare.
It's true. Mm. It's true. Truth or double dare.
Okay. So John had a opportunity to pitch a show, and he had this show called Your Gang. So what Your Gang was going to be was it was going to feature a live host that would introduce parody style cartoons that would sort of spoof popular cartoon genres. You'd have action, horror, and you would have the cat dog cartoon, you know, like your Tom and Jerry's and, you know, Roadrunner Coyote, the two animals that like fight each other parody. And Ren and Stimpy were that cat and dog character for those segments. Now, Ren Howick was actually inspired by a postcard John Kay saw with a photograph on it called New York City 1946, which featured a really ugly ass chihuahua wearing a sweater. If you Google that picture, it's pretty funny. It's So in all those old cartoons, you know, where you see like the animal and you see the human and you see like they're like maybe up to their knee, but it's mostly just like the bottom part of their leg. That's what this picture is. It's a chihuahua wearing a sweater looking all like doofy and a woman's leg. And it's very funny picture.
It doesn't take a lot for a chihuahua to be ugly.
No, it's not.
We're not doing justice to this dog breed, but we're also being completely honest about this dog breed.
So. Yes.
Yeah.
It's funny because on the show, Ren is often mistaken for other things other than a chihuahua, usually like a mosquito or some other bug-eyed creature. So that's pretty funny.
Like a bug?
That's just a different kind of dog.
I know, but they're both bug-eyed. They're bug-eyed breed dog.
What's funny is technically Ren Howick is an asthma hound chihuahua, which I don't even know if that's real or not, but pugs are the ones that sound like they have asthma.
Asthma hound chihuahua?
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Okay, first off, if anybody out there likes these little mangly sons of bitches, I mean, more power to you. Love your chihuahua. And if you have a pug, I think God made the pug to look like another dog, realized his mistake, and just held it up and smashed its nose into its face a little bit. Was like, there you go. You're different.
Well, its noses are so short, so its eyes are so close to its food and it can see what it's eating.
Yeah, but my, that like accounts for its buggy-eyedness, because God was like, smack! There you go.
Well, what it was is that, the golden retriever was being made and they kept shooting it at a wall. Just smashing it. But yes, the asthma hound chihuahua is a thing.
Okay. And, all right. That's technically Ren Howick's breed. Now, what makes
Ren Howick... a picture of Ren popped up when I Googled asthma hound chihuahua. So
what's even funnier is the name Ren Howick. That was the name of John Kay's landlord.
Okay.
Just straight up stole his name. It's not a joke. It's just Ren Howick.
Okay.
Now, Stimpy was inspired by the cats in an old Warner Brothers Tweety Bird cartoon called A Gruesome Twosome.
Ah, yes.
If you look up this cartoon, the cats are kind of like big and round and have these huge bulbous noses. And that's that was where Stimpy came from. I've heard a couple of different stories about where the name Stimpy came from, and I'm not real sure which one is accurate. I've heard that it was the name of one of John's friends in art school. I heard it was his girlfriend's cat's name. So I don't really know where the name Stimpy came from. But anyway, long story short, Nickelodeon passed on the idea of your gang, but they loved the characters of Ren and Stimpy. So they basically told John Kay, you just make a show out of those two and we'll take it. So here you go. So, beautiful. So, and Sarge has no idea. He just totally missed it.
Yeah,
you won't know until you, no, you didn't. You saw nothing. You don't know. Okay, maybe he did. Who cares? So here's the first example of John Kay saying, here's what I want to do. And somebody stepping in and saying, no, let's tweak it and do this. He wanted to do your gang. They said, no, let's take Ren and Stimpy instead. So that becomes
probably a good move.
It absolutely is.
Sarge has a question.
Sarge has just learned that the name Stimpy comes from Stimpson J. Stimpy Cat.
Well, that's his full name.
Yeah, that's his full name.
But where the name Stimpy came from originally.
Stimpy Cattergrin,
John, I'm cutting all of this,
classmate. I mean, whatever. I'm just saying. I just looked it up real quick, and I was like, "Holy crap!" He's also called the Killer Cattergin.
No, Killer Cadogan.
Yeah, Cadogan.
Yeah, there's an episode.
Cadogan.
There's an episode where they're wrestlers, and it's Mad Dog Howick and Killer Cadogan is their names, and there's actually a really funny bit at the end of that episode where, you know, like throughout the episode, they're all trying to be like tough wrestlers and like yell wrestler things. Well, at the end, Stimpy goes on this like nonsensical tirade where he's like, I like you and you like me and I hug you. And it's like really ridiculous because he's like screaming it. Turns out that was an actual fan letter sent to like Ren and Stimpy offices. And they just and for whatever reason they thought it would be funny if Stimpy read it like on the show.
Okay. It fit. It fit.
It worked.
It was hilarious. Yeah. So
I don't know. I like the idea of angry screaming, I like you and you like me.
It was so funny. So August 11th, 1991, the first episode of Ren and Stimpy Show aired on Nickelodeon. Now, the synopsis of each episode drew a lot of inspiration from those old Looney Tunes, Merry Melodies cartoons, essentially dropping these characters, Ren and Stimpy, into different zany scenarios, just like they used to do with Bugs and Daffy. But with Ren and Stimpy, it was, you know, your typical stuff like joining the army.
What did you say the first episode aired?
August 11th,
1991.
Okay. I think I know what you're going to say. Don't say it.
It has nothing to do with Nickelodeon.
Okay, say it.
Okay. So, and when you said the date, it jumped out in my head because do you know what also premiered in 1991 that I feel like Ren and Stimpy actually is very close to? And now they're owned by the same company, Nickelodeon and MTV, Liquid Television. First episode aired June 2nd, 1991. And okay. I feel like that had a lot of the same like type of humor and stuff to it that Ren and Stimpy does.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. Like it jumped out to me. So,
but there is something about that date that does have to do with Nickelodeon, but that's part of our trivia game later. So don't spoil it.
Okay. I didn't have anything on Nickelodeon. I just had Liquid Television.
Okay, good.
I mean, I hope this trivia is true or false.
No, it's not, but you'll do fine. Some classic, you know, Ren and Stimpy scenarios on some of these episodes, like Ren and Stimpy join the army. They become astronauts. They pretend to be babies so they can scam some parents out of their money. They become rubber nipple salesmen. You know, normal stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we've all done all of those things. Actually, no, only one of us has done one of those things.
About to say, my childhood was a little bit different than your childhood if you've been doing those things.
I was getting ready to say how one of us has only done one of those things. I was like, how did you know I was a rubber nipple salesman?
See, I'm not selling my rubber nipples. I just have them. Yep.
Put them up on eBay. Actually, for some reason, they sell better when they're used. Okay, so what made Ren and Stimpy so unique was the way each show was written. I kind of alluded to this earlier. The show was essentially written by the animators. They were given a basic premise, and then the jokes and the visual gags would sort of be fleshed out by the actual animators and not just a bunch of writers. This, again, was sort of the Bob Clampett Looney Tunes style that John Kay was so enamored with.
Yeah.
Now, Danger, you brought this up earlier. They also used to implement fake TV commercials. Mm-hmm. See, back in the day, back in the like 40s, and Flintstones is one of the most famous examples of this. They used to put commercials in the show.
Yeah, and actually, so I was watching Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet for whatever reason. Like, it just rolled on to TV. That's
sure, because like that's what you do in 2024.
Yeah, but like, I kind of got like, I started watching it and I started to become kind of fascinated, entertained by the fact that like they'd be in the kitchen and it'd be like, I'm just over here washing dishes using my, and then insert brand name soap. Uh-huh, like there was a lot of those like ad placements all throughout those type shows. But my favorite Flintstones one, and you can look it up on YouTube. That's the only place I'm able to find it, is where Barney and Fred are smoking Winston cigarettes and talking about Winston cigarettes. And yeah, that was fun, but go on.
The thing that gets me is the older time shows were a lot more upfront with their product placements and who was
and the racism.
Them
and
yeah, right. Well, that was sexism, racism. Right. I mean,
all the isms.
Yeah, sure. Why not? but nowadays it's more covert who it's brought to you by. Yep. And if it's not an actual commercial during the time slot of the television, if you look around, I forget which, like Big Bang Theory, I think is one of them. Like there's like a bottle of Pepsi or Coke in almost every scene. It's just there.
Big Bang Theory is a big Warner Brothers advertisement because all they talk about are DC, like comic characters. Right. You know, it's just all DC. And they make like one or two random jokes about a Marvel, whatever, but it's all, you know, they're all wearing Green Lantern shirts or whatever. So
the Flash, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's funny you should say that because actually on Big Bang Theory, if you look carefully, there's a lot of like soda machines and they're drinking sodas and stuff. They're all fake names. They look like legit, like they, like someone's drinking a can that looks like Sprite, but it's not Sprite. It's whatever, you know, goofy name they come up with. Yeah.
Actually, if you pay attention, you'll actually see it in a lot of TV shows. A popular fake beer for TV shows is Heisler. And it's like, it's got like a red label on it and it looks like an actual beer, but it's a fake beer, but it popped up in a bunch of shows that I've seen.
Oh, that's funny. I never noticed that.
I never recognized
I'll look
that.
For that now.
You will now. Yeah. Yeah.
So John Kay wanted to do the same thing, but they basically told him, no, you can't do that. So that's where those fake TV commercials came from. Now, you had mentioned Billy the Beef Tallow Boy, which is funny because I think in the pantheon of Ren and Stimpy fake commercials, that's kind of at the bottom of the list.
Yeah. Oh, I know it is. But for some reason, that one stuck out to me. And the, you know, can you deep fry the Buick? Sure I can, but I think he's going to spew it. That will forever stick in my head.
Oh, yeah.
Forever. And when my parents bought a Buick, you know, 20 years ago.
Never ended.
No, it was like every time I looked at it, I was like, he's going to spew it.
Now, the two most famous ones, I think you could probably say, are Powder Toast Man, which is great. And of course, Log.
The Log.
Yes.
Now, does anybody else remember the lyrics or just me?
Log, log
rolls downstairs, rolls over in pairs, rolls over your neighbor's lawn. It's great for a snack. It sits on your back. It's log, log, log. And then log, big, it's heavy, it's wood.
Yep. I got nothing
bad,
on log.
It's good. No, okay. But what's funny is log is literally a log, but they were selling it as if it was like a Barbie doll with all these accessories and all kinds of funny stuff.
I've always felt like that was poking fun of the pet rock.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. So, do we know who did the voices of Ren and Stimpy?
I do not.
Nope.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Okay. So,
is this going to come up on the quiz later?
No. Okay. Actually, nothing I'm going over is in the quiz. So you're shit out of
cool. Work. So I love not getting the material before the test.
Stimpy was voiced by the one and only Billy West.
Oh, okay.
If you've watched a cartoon show in the past 20 years, you have heard Billy West's voice.
If you've watched Futurama, you've heard 50 Billy West voices.
Yes, he does a lot of voices on Futurama. He was Doug Funny on Doug.
The Nickelodeon Doug?
The original Doug. He's done Shaggy. There's all those Scooby-Doo iterations. And one that I didn't know, he's the voice of the red M&M. In the TV commercials.
I didn't know that either, but cool.
His voice was Stimpy's voice. Yeah. He actually had a stint on the Howard Stern show as well, which you want to see something really, really uncomfortable. There was actually an episode of the Howard Stern show after Ren and Stimpy kind of blew up and like was finished. John Kay was brought on as a secret guest, and him and Billy West had some bad blood, and basically Howard Stern thought it was funny to like poke them and make them like argue with each other. It's really uncomfortable. Like, wow. I think people forget what a piece of shit Howard Stern really kind of was.
I mean,
I'm not going to say anything about now, but yeah, back in when he was trying to be a shock jock, he was just obnoxious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did an interview with, it's a series on Netflix. It's David Letterman's, sits down and does interviews with different people. And he did an interview with Howard Stern, and it made me kind of look at Howard Stern different for how he is now, you know, like, and I understand kind of why he did things the way he did for a long time after hearing him talk about it. But I'm not going to defend the man as anything more than a piece of shit in 1991.
If you go to YouTube and you search Howard Stern, John Kay, Billy West, it is incredibly uncomfortable. I can't say I recommend it. I couldn't sit through the whole thing. It's rough. But Ren, do you know who did the voice of Ren?
Nope.
No.
John Kay himself.
Okay. I figured he probably had a hand in something like that. But.
Now, part of the whole thing with John Kay and Billy West was that after, and we'll get to this here in just a minute, but John Kay gets let go from the show, and he was expecting like a lot of people to walk with him, and they didn't because, you know, they like to eat and pay their rent. So right. Billy West took over and became the voice of Ren and Stimpy.
I mean, the guy could do a million voices, so why not?
Oh, yeah. And you can definitely hear a difference from the John Kay episodes and the Billy West ones. Honestly, the whole show feels different once John Kay is gone. But anyway, we'll get there. So John Kay was very strict on how he wanted his show to be ran. It didn't take long for the episodes to fall behind. I don't know if you guys will remember this, but when it first aired, they showed the same couple episodes over and over and over because they were waiting on more. And yep. John Kay, the way he wanted this show to be animated and ran, they weren't coming out as fast as they were supposed to.
Isn't that kind of like Beavis and Butthead?
Yes. But that was more because Matt Judge was just kind of by himself, sort of.
Yeah.
He basically bit off more than he could chew and was asked to create all these episodes. And he's like, I'm doing this all myself, you know. Whereas John Kay.
Mike Judge. You said Matt Judge.
Oh, I did, didn't I? Yeah, sorry.
It's okay. Have another cup of coffee.
Matthew Judgmental.
But no, so the problem is John Kay was almost the opposite. He had animators, but he wanted to do it himself. And we'll get into this here in a second. So basically, Nickelodeon wanted him to turn out, you know, episodes at
a production schedule.
Right. And he just wouldn't do it. And he became abusive and he was really overboard on the criticism of his writers and his animators. There's all kinds of stories about staff members quitting, refusing to come back until John apologized, or even threatening to punch him.
So this episode could also go in the slot for Jay is for John is a shitty boss.
Oh, we're not even, you don't even know. So John claims that the production didn't fall behind due to him being unreasonable. It was due to censorship. He wasn't being a dick and making his team redo entire sequences because he thought it was bad. He was making them redo it because Nickelodeon said it was too gross or offensive. Ultimately, I think it was a little bit of both.
I think so. Probably. I mean, the stuff that the cartoons from the 80s and the 90s up until the 2000s, they were a different breed of cartoon. Like, you couldn't watch that shit now on national television without somebody losing their mind.
Right.
I remember G.I. Joe episode where Cobra Commander took a snake and somehow stabbed a snake through a G.I. Joe's chest in the animated cartoon. And well, it was
if you push anything hard enough, it's going to become stabbable.
So
you're the one that told me you're going to stab me with a brick once.
I mean,
I feel like shows like Ren and Stimpy would just automatically go to like Netflix or Hulu or something like that. Like, it'd go to a streaming service. And I think Sarge is absolutely right. You can't get away with that stuff on national TV, but how many people are vying for a national TV spot anymore?
So anyway, so this delay in the schedule and everything soured the relationship between John Kay and Nickelodeon really, really fast. Kind of the tipping point was John made this episode called Man's Best Friend. It actually ended up being banned by Nickelodeon because it's pretty rough. It's essentially, he had this character named George Licker that for some reason he was obsessed with. And it's just basically an adult man who is just very mentally and physically abusive. There are several figures within the Ren and Stimpy. I don't want to say the Ren and Stimpy universe because it's really the John Kay stuff that never really got aired. But this George Licker character was a real, like, obnoxious dick, and in Man's Best Friend he's basically abusing Ren and Stimpy, and then at the end Ren goes off on him and like beats his ass with a boat paddle, and it is violent and disturbing, and Nickelodeon said no. So of course John does not like to be told no, so he got into a fight with the execs about it and basically said he was no longer taking notes, he's not meeting any more deadlines. And Nickelodeon said, fine, you and Spumco are gone. Y'all get out of here. After that, he was offered a consulting position on the show. They basically said, look, you take too long to animate. You do all this stuff, but it's your thing. You can stay on as sort of like a supervisor role. And, of course, he turned that down. And, like I said, he wanted everybody to kind of like rally behind him, but he's been an abusive dick this whole time. So everybody left.
Yeah. I can't say I'd follow my, I don't know. I never had a boss that I'd be like, cool, we're going, if they were a dick beforehand.
Yeah. Ooh. Sorry. I said that backwards. He left. Everybody else stayed on.
I got what you meant.
Yeah. The problem is, because all this kind of happened behind closed doors, the media took it almost as John Kay, this crazy, creative, out of the box guy, basically being, you know, taken advantage of by the big greedy corporation that just wanted to pump out his stuff. That wasn't really the case. And also, when push came to shove, John actually gave up the rights to the show in the deal he made with Nickelodeon in the beginning. So they were legally allowed to continue the show without his involvement.
Yep.
Yeah. It's just backseat. It's people who don't know no better. Like, before we even started this podcast, you know, I did a lot of research into what it takes to do something like this, not just a show, but anything, right? it's a production schedule. When you sign on to these big companies, these big media groups and whatnot, you're set to a schedule and you get a little bit of leeway, but you don't get a lot of leeway. And if you just turn into that asshat, mm-hmm. they'll take your baby from you.
Oh yeah.
There's millions of examples of that very same kind of thing happening. I mean, Monster, you and I have talked about on breakdowns where how many times has there been like one single member of a band left because if they give up that name, if they leave, they can't use that name anymore or whatever, right. You know? I mean, once you sign a contract, if you sign a really bad contract, whatever you're going in creatively, creative doesn't matter to big companies because at the end of the day, it's all about that bottom dollar. And yeah. It's like, it doesn't matter about your baby and what your creative process is. And honestly,
looking at doing the research for this, there's a lady named Virginia Coffey. And then the other lady I mentioned earlier, both really being willing to give John Kay a lot of leeway. He wanted to be gross. He wanted to be aggressive and they were mostly cool with it. Yeah. They tweaked it a little bit. Thank God they did. But, you know, they were giving him some leeway. But then when they were like, okay, you still have to hold up your end, and mm-hmm. he threw a fit. So they offered the job to lead animator job to this guy named Bob Camp, who was one of the original founders of Spumco, Batman.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Right. And he started this studio called Game Studios, which eventually evolved into Nickelodeon Animation. After this happened, you can immediately tell a drop in quality on the Ren and Stimpy show. There are some good episodes in the later three or four seasons, but that first season and a half, two seasons, that's really the best stuff. And that was when John Kay was there. So
it almost just seems like he's a victim of his own success. Like he let it get so high into his head that it cost him.
He's a narcissistic piece of shit. And I truly believe you have to be a little bit off in the brain to create interesting art. I truly do believe that. But it depends on where you're off at. And if he was just an eccentric weirdo who had a tendency to fly off the handles a little bit, I would be a little bit more on his side. But we're not done with him yet. We'll get there.
I think you have to be a little bit off to go into some sort of medium where you're putting your product out. Like I know all three of us are a little bit off. At least.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. To varying degrees. But yeah. You know, if you, the listener, are a little bit off and you want to start your own podcast, go to podbean.com and put in the code Danger Sarge and get 1 month free of podcast hosting services. Make sure you read those terms and conditions though, because you probably will find that those are a little bit off to you. Sure. A little bit off,
but they do apply.
They do mm-hmm. apply.
So the last episode of the Ren and Stimpy show aired October 20th, 1996.
Okay. How many seasons did it have?
It had five.
Okay.
Unfortunately, this was not the end of the Ren and Stimpy show.
Nope.
It should have been. But in 2003, John Kay was given the opportunity to recreate, reimagine, or just flat out ruin the Ren and Stimpy show with his new version of the show, Ren and Stimpy Adult Party Cartoon for Spike TV. It's disgusting. It's deplorable. It's so bad. Billy West refused to voice the characters. It was literally nothing but the most offensive, gross out gags they could come up with. There's no story arcs. There's no subtle humor. It's just over the top and really shitty. It's
classified as a horror.
No, it shouldn't be.
I just pulled up Ren and Stimpy's Adult Party Cartoon, 2003. Two seasons classified as a horror show.
No, but it is the most aggressively sexualized. It's okay. Everything
it's probably scary how awful it is.
Yes. No, that is accurate. I honestly, so they only aired 3 episodes before it got canceled. They actually did 8 episodes and I bought the DVDs because I was like, okay, they released the 3, but I'm a completionist. I have all the other episodes of Ren and Stimpy on DVD. How bad could these be? I have not seen them all. I can't sit through them. It's one of those things that, like, it's a bastardization of a thing that you loved, and it's really hard to sit through. But this is exactly what happens when nobody tells John Kay no. When he can do whatever he wants to do, it's too far. It's too much.
Mm. I feel like Spike TV was the kind of place that just kind of let whatever happened happen. And maybe that's the reason why Spike TV's not around anymore.
They had Faces of Death on Spike TV.
Spike TV was Spike TV was basically if you took a hormonal 16-year-old boy and gave it a TV channel.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So, all right, here's the trigger warning. So things only got worse for John Kay after the failure of the Adult Party cartoon. In March 2018, a BuzzFeed article entitled Drawing the Line was published. This article revealed that John had a relationship with one of his animators, a girl by the name of Robin Bird. He met her when she was only 14, and they started a sexual relationship when she was 16. Bird eventually flew to LA and began as an intern at Spumco at the time. But while this was happening, John was already working on another intern named Katie Rice. He basically sexually harassed her at work and in her personal life. John said all of this was true. He blamed it on poor decision making and his ADD.
I got ADD.
I have ADD.
There's some things that, I mean, ADD is responsible for a lot of my poor decisions, but I wouldn't blame.
And
why the look, Sarge?
You're blaming ADD for your piss poor decisions?
Sorry. ADD is not responsible for my poor decisions. I'm responsible for my poor decisions. ADD just helped encourage them.
Okay. I can handle that.
Yeah.
So, one last thing, and I feel like I just need to say it. I have not found any 100% confirmation, but there were also a lot of rumors about him having child pornography on his computers at work. And because of all of this, John Kay has pretty much been blacklisted from the industry. He has tried to put out some stuff online, just some like flash animation and like his own stuff. Nobody's interested. I'm not interested either. We've talked about this on a lot of different episodes about a lot of different things. Can you separate the art from the artist? It's a really tough thing to do. And I feel like this is a really good example of that, especially a cartoon, because as much input as John Kay had, the reason those first couple seasons are so special is because John Kay was being told no. He had other people shaping and helping create this thing that made it what it is.
Producer.
Yes. So even though John Kay was a huge part of what made Ren and Stimpy great, I mean, he's a piece of shit. I mean, he's a bad person. So I feel like for me, I can still watch those episodes and be happy and enjoy it, but I just cannot think about John Kay. And again, one of the things that pisses me off so much about that Adult Party cartoon thing is a lot of people have got it mixed up in their heads. I have seen so many clips from the Adult Party cartoon, like pop up on Reels or something, and they're like, I can't believe we used to watch this as kids. Look at this. And it's like, no, you didn't. You didn't watch that as a kid. That is some bullshit John Kay made in the 2000s. What you watched as a kid was clever, smart. Yes, it was gross. It was borderline stupid at times, but it was an actual cartoon for consumption. Whatever that Adult Party thing is just trash.
I just looked up the John Kay flash animation.
Don't.
No, I didn't say I watched it.
I know.
I looked it up. And from what I can see, just from the image steals, is he's animating like Ren and Stimpy still, like the way
that's his style. That's all he's got.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Just a one trick pony, basically. Yeah. So I don't know if I'm going to be brave enough to delve into actually watching the Flash anime.
I doubt it. I'm not going to. I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there. I'm not even going to look it up. Just
no. It's as bad, if not worse, than his adult party cartoon ideas. They're not good.
Sorry to report back to us if you do decide to watch it. Report back to us what it's
this
like.
This may have to be one of those things I watch on incognito mode when nobody else is around.
Absolutely. 100%. But I don't want to go out on a sour note, okay?
No, of course not.
Because I absolutely love this show. So I've got two things left that I want to go through. First thing is I'm going to give no particular order. I don't know if I call this my top 10 favorite episodes, but these are 10 episodes that if you don't know the show Ren and Stimpy, you should probably watch these. If you do know the Ren and Stimpy show, but it's been a while, these are some good ones to revisit. If you have any memories of any of these, chime in, but in no particular order, Stimpy's Invention. That's the one where he gets the happy helmet on Ren and it has the happy, happy, joy, joy song, which is incredible.
Yes. I know the song. I don't know the episode.
There's another one called Out West where Ren and Stimpy are basically cowboys. Mm-hmm. And God, there's this song. It's so funny. At the very end, I can't remember what exactly happens, but they end up hanging. The guys end up hanging, and they have this song at the end where it's like, Lord loves a hanging, that's why he gave us necks. I love it. The space episodes are really, really cool. And I think there's three or four, but I think the two that really stand out are Space Madness and Black Hole. Space Madness is the one where he goes completely bonkers and he eats a bar of soap thinking it's a candy bar. Mm-hmm. Black Hole.
I don't remember that.
Ren, sorry. Okay. Usually in these cases, Ren is the one that goes absolutely apeshit.
And Stimpy is usually the one like, how you doing, Ren? Like totally oblivious to his friend's deteriorating mental.
Oh yeah.
And then Black Hole is another really good space one. There's this great part at the end where they have the history eraser button, and this like TV announcer guy is literally screaming at Stimpy, can he resist to push the shiny red button? There's a part where he's on Stimpy's back and his butt is smacking him in the head repeatedly. It's great. It's wonderful. Sven Hoek is another great episode. Ren has a brother from, I guess it's Germany, named Sven Hoek, and he shows up and he's exactly like Stimpy. He's just this big, dumb. He's like, if you took Stimpy's style but colored him in Ren's color palette, that's what he looks like. And there's this great sequence at the end where Ren loses his mind and he ends up pissing all over their board game that they're playing. The bad part is the board game they're playing is called Don't Whiz on the Electric Fence. So Ren whizzed on the electric fence and they all end up in hell. Great episode. Very funny. Another one I really liked growing up was called Haunted House, where Ren and Stimpy are spending the night in this house. And there is this like ghost that's trying to haunt them, but they're oblivious to him. They don't care. And there's this great scene where the ghost is hiding outside of the shower and Stimpy grabs him thinking he's the towel and starts just, and you hear Ren go, don't forget to wash where the sun don't shine. So Stimpy takes him. He's like in between his legs on his butt and stuff. So funny. Stimpy's big day. He wins a contest with Gritty Kitty Litter and he becomes really famous. And that one's really funny. There's one called Fire Dogs where they paint themselves like Dalmatians to try to, because they're homeless and starving. Really funny, really funny scene. There's a part where this building's on fire and this lady is throwing all these things out the window and they keep getting increasingly more ridiculous. She's like, save my refrigerator and then save my walrus. And it's so good.
Things that would never fit through a window. She's
never. Rubber Nipple Salesman is another one of my favorite. Yep. There's this scene in that one where they go to this house And we didn't talk about some of these side characters, but there's this guy named Mr. Horse. And yes. Mr. Horse pops up all the time, and I love him. And he usually just says, "No, sir, I didn't like it." But on this episode, they go up to his house to try to sell him rubber nipples, and he opens the door, and he's got, like, rubber gloves and stuff all over him. And they're like, "Hey, could we interest you in some rubber nipples?" And he says, "No, but do you have any rubber walrus protectors?" And he holds up this walrus out of the door, and the walrus is, like, shaking, and he's like, "Call the police." Like, this is for children. God. Okay. And then the last one, we talked about the fake commercials, but Powder Toast Man actually got his own episodes. Yeah. And he had two. One of them is just called Powder Toast Man, and it is the best one. There's this great scene where he saves the Pope from a burning building. And as he's flying, which remember, Powder Toast Man flies backwards, mm-hmm. he tells the Pope's like freaking out, and he tells him, "Cling tenaciously to my buttocks." And so the Pope kind of looks at him and goes, "Both of them?" So good. So good. Okay. So those are 10 episodes I think you should watch. And before we go, we're going to play a little trivia game. Okay.
All right. How many questions is this? Just
five.
Okay.
Just five questions. Not just five questions. Okay. And
danger, you win.
Here's what we're going to do.
I like winning before I do anything.
I made it of odd numbers, so we'll have no ties. Whoever wants to guess, raise your hand, and I will call on you. And whoever gets the most right gets a hug next time I see him.
That's all. Sarge, you can win. I'm good.
I can call his wife and get a hug.
It's true.
Wait, from me or her?
From yes. her, she likes me better than you do.
That's for sure. if you raise your hand and get the question wrong, the other person can steal. All right, we ready?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. What question one? What two other shows? Well, that's
a good start.
The look of the two fingers.
Oh God. What two other shows were picked up by Nickelodeon and aired on the exact same day as Ren and Stimpy?
Rocko's Modern Life is one. I don't know.
Okay, so you're supposed to raise your hand, and neither one of you did. So
I raised my hand as I answered.
The correct answers are Rugrats and Doug.
Cool.
They all got picked up and aired at the exact same time and became like Nickelodeon's Nicktoons. That was the beginning of Nicktoons.
Okay. Cool.
Question two. So far, we're still tied 0-0.
I feel like we're going to end the same way. But go
you on. Very well might. These are going to get increasingly more difficult. So
that was the easy one.
It was. Okay. Question two. Where, according to the show, where do Ren and Stimpy live?
Springfield.
Ooh.
Sarge.
In a house.
Actually, no, because varying episodes, they live in different places. Sometimes they live in a tree. Sometimes they live in a hole. And I'm really sorry, Danger. Do you not understand the concept of raising your hand? You just blurt out answers. You are a teacher's nightmare. They live in
Let's talk
Hollywood.
About that ADD again.
They live in Hollywood, Yugoslavia. Question three. What famous voice actor auditioned for the voice of Ren? Danger!
I did it. I raised my hand first. John DiMaggio?
No, you're wrong. Oh, Sarge, any guesses?
David Duchovny.
Voice actor.
Wow, why okay. Not?
Yeah, fair enough.
Tom Kenny, the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Okay.
Now I know. I can sleep better at night with this knowledge.
Okay. Question
now,
four.
This is all things I'm going to tell other people because I am really good at telling people shit they don't need to know.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So the next two you will not get, but I don't care. I'm going to ask you anyway.
All right.
I'm still going to guess.
Actually, Danger, there's a slight possibility you'll get this one. Just, it sounds like the kind of weird trivia shit that you might know.
All right. That's fair. All right. Let's
In the Powder Toast Man episode, who voices the Pope? I'll give you a hint. He only has about two lines.
No hints.
Wait, hold on. He is a musician. And he's not necessarily one that you love, but he's one that you very well know.
Bob Dylan.
No.
Okay.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. No, I...
No? I okay. Sarge?
Will Ferrell.
He's not he's a musician. Frank Zappa.
Oh, okay.
And very last, in how many episodes does Rin yell, "You sick little monkey"? Danger.
Are we doing Price is Right?
Sure.
32.
All right, Sarge.
One.
Ooh, Sarge wins. He only does it twice.
Ah, you're that person that would go on Price is Right and just like whatever the person next to you said, you'd just add a penny.
Dollar. $1.
Wait a second. You did 30. How is one that close to 32? How can I be that person on the Price is Right?
I don't know, but if I play Scrabble with you, you're going to put an S on the end of things to get the full.
No, I would never do that.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
So that's it. That's all I got. Good game, guys. We finished 0-0, which is actually better than I expected. Don't tell me. Don't ask me to explain that. Sarge, what have you been up to these days?
Trying to figure out how you learned math when you said I got one right and it's still 0-0. But hey, keep your hug. It's fine.
He's got a point.
I've been reading and writing a little bit. Still, I got chapter 4 of my book out.
Nice.
It's a fun little thing. Still working on getting some more of my podcasting stuff done up. Just checking on you guys mostly. Springtime's coming up, so.
Yeah, it is. We had time change not too long ago. Which that was.
It's still taking a crap.
Yeah, my 2-year-old is still not quite into it.
I told you.
Yeah, working
chloroform.
Yeah, chloroform does work to go to sleep. No, but working nights and the time change.
Couldn't imagine.
Yeah,
Danger. What about you? Other than working during a time change.
Yeah, not a lot. I've just kind of been watching just stuff. Like just keeping on the background. I'm doing things. I watched the Conan remake recently. It was terrible.
Who did that one?
The Conan the Barbarian. That was like Jason. Rock? No, that was Jason Momoa's like first big role, I believe. And then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to say go watch it. Like it was an unneeded thing. And, it didn't go right.
No. If it's on my television and I didn't put it there, like it's on like TNT or Fox or something like that, and it's there and I have nothing else better to do, I'll leave it on and glance at it periodically.
That's probably like that's the space it should fill, is in the background at best. Like there's just so much about it that's just not needed for the story itself. I don't know. I watched a couple other things. I don't know. Resident Alien, I talked about it before. Great show. Mm-hmm. Been keeping up with that. So that's fun. Yeah, but cool. Monster, what about you?
Well, the missus started watching the new Netflix live action Last Airbender Avatar.
Yeah. Is that any good?
Yeah. So I didn't watch the cartoon. She watched... I think she's seen every episode of the animated series. She loved it. And so, of course, we watched the M. Night Shyamalan movie, and I don't think anybody particularly liked that. I don't have any sort of affinity for the show or anything, but I've watched a couple episodes now, and it's cool. I mean, it's definitely... It's got cool effects. The characters, the actors are really good. I've seen enough of the animated series to kind of like gauge, you know, the live action people. I think they did a good job casting it. But she loves it. So she's a big Avatar fan, Last Airbender fan. So if she likes it, then not I'm the sure blue it's people. Really good. No, not the blue people. No. But okay. Thanks for joining us. Danger, take us out.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming back and listening. Please check out Unscripted coming up soon. That's going to be headed up by Sarge, Monster, and I. we were running the breakdowns for Breakfast. Please go check that out on the same platform that you are listening to this podcast. Please go shoot us an email at dangerandsergeant@gmail.com. If you have a topic that you'd like for us to talk about, or if you just want to say, hey, please go and do that. Check us out on one of our social media platforms, X, Facebook, or Instagram. Say it, Danger and Sarge, across all of those. And check out the Breakdowns for Breakfast Facebook page. That's all I got. I would say go buy a t-shirt, but we don't have those.
No. We will. No, we don't, no t-shirts.
Or maybe not. I don't know.
We will.
Yeah, go, it's to a in truck the stop, buy, go to a truck stop, buy five hats like Monster.
You like this one? I got this one at the beach.
Did you know how
it just acknowledged it was a hat?
Expensive that hat making actually is.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it's not.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Like, we would have to make a Danger and Sarge and Monster hat and sell it for like $30 to make any money off of that.
And on that note, have a good one.
Later.
Later, guys.
Bye.
It's over.
Done.
Done.